to receive with open hearts here this morning. I trust that we are. What I'm going to be doing today is continuing on our teaching out of the book of Romans. And for those of you that don't know, this is now part 8 in our series. And I would really recommend that if you've missed out any of these, just go back. You know, Romans is such an interesting book. Go back and just listen to part 1, you know, through to today, you know, part 8, just as an encouragement to all of us. All right, just go onto our website. They're all there. All these messages are there. So this is now part 8, and the title of today's message is A Believer's Blessings. Do you know that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are blessed? We are incredibly blessed. Amazing blessings. But before I get into this morning's message, I would like to recap very, very briefly on some of the more important points that we have discussed over the series so far. Firstly, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Right? Do you remember that? We spent part 1, and we got into that in a lot of depth. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that the gospel was also the power of God that enables you and I to live a righteous life, that we can live righteously. Then we also saw that there are no excuses for those who have rejected Christ. The only way of receiving salvation. Who remembers the message when I got into quite a lot of detail about things that people always say? You know, what about the guy that is in the Amazon jungle when it comes to salvation? Can he be saved? Well, if you were here, you would have heard it. If not, I think that was in part 2 or part 3 that we spent a lot of time discussing that. We also saw that for those who have rejected God, there are consequences. You better believe it. When the created rejects the creator, there is a consequence to that. Then Paul goes on to say that there is absolutely no one who deserves the blessing of God, the grace of God. We know that the grace of God is that undeserved favor, that unmerited favor. That is just there for us. And you can't earn your salvation like many, many people believe they can. They can just be good. I just have to be good and I can earn my salvation. You cannot. I cannot earn. We can't earn our salvation. Why? Because salvation is a free good, a free gift that we receive from God, and we receive it by faith through His grace. Is that right? And also, I want to say, and we did touch on this as well, that salvation has always been by faith. And if you remember, I spoke a little bit about Abraham and Abraham's salvation. And when you do a study on that, you see that Abraham too received salvation as a result of faith. And then last time we discussed the dual nature of a Christian that Paul was speaking about. We go out there and we do those things that we don't want to do. And then we don't do those things that we should be doing. You remember that? So there's like a war that is going on between our old sinful nature and our new nature that is now our new spiritual nature. There's a battle going on. We spend a lot of time speaking about that as well. The battle between, you know, living life in our own power and the battle between living life in our own power and, of course, living by the Holy Spirit as well, being led by the Holy Spirit. So if you've got your Bibles, you can open up your Bibles to chapter 8. We're going to be having a look at chapter 8 now. And so now Paul tells us that those who are in Christ are assured, listen to this folks, of incredible, incredible promises. If you are in Christ, there are amazing blessings for you and for me. So we are now taken away from the warring, you know, between the flesh and the spirit that we experience by living in these bodies, because that is ongoing. Now we move to sharing with, you know, sharing about some of the incredible blessings and the promises for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So are you ready to listen to hear about the blessings and the promises that are for you? He begins with one, and it is that there is now no condemnation I'll say it again. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Chapter 8, verse 1. Let me read it. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. I want to say, wow, okay. The truth is, this is the truth, and this is an incredible blessing that many, many believers forget about. We forget about this, that there is now no condemnation. You know, many, many people think or believe that, you know, when we sin, because we've sinned, now we're going to face condemnation. Many people grow up in like a religious system, religious systems that categorize sins. Huh? Am I right? Some of us that are sitting here today, you've grown up with that, where sins are actually categorized. You know, the big sins that we commit, those really big ones, those big sins, they can lead to eternal condemnation if they are not confessed. Then they tell us to go and confess our sins to somebody, right? And once we've confessed our sins to somebody, then we pay penance. Is that right? Many of us have been exposed to that, folks. The belief here is that there are certain sins that condemn us and that there are other sins that don't condemn us. And I need to say that this type of thinking and this type of teaching is totally, totally, totally unscriptural. Totally unscriptural. Find it in the Bible, and if you find it, please come and share it with me, if this is the truth, if this is in the Word of God. So Paul finishes off chapter 7 saying that he, Paul, this is Paul the apostle that wrote approximately two-thirds of the New Testament under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that Paul still battles with doing wrong things, like you and I. He still battles, right? He does things that he doesn't want to do, and he doesn't do things that he should be doing, just like you and I. Even though, you know, he's going through all of these on the inside of him, under the anointing, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Huh? Isn't that incredible? Folks, these are the blessings for us. Okay? Christ died to pay for your sins and for my sins. He died on that cross to pay for the sins that you and I committed in the past. He died on that cross to pay for the sins that you and I have just committed. And he also died on the cross to pay for the sins that you and I will commit in the future. And yet, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you've received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, this is one of the blessings for you. Now, it's very interesting because Jesus himself affirmed this. Listen to what he says. I was just sharing with Krisha this morning, you know, as I was studying this, we'll speak sometime about the question I will always throw out, and I think it's a question that we need to answer ourselves and have a commitment in our own thinking, which way we go. Can you lose your salvation? Right? Can you lose it? Yes or no? Big question. You know, some people will say, yes, you know, I'm saved, but now if I sin, and this is often our upbringing, oh gee, now I've lost my salvation. Oh Lord, I've asked you to forgive me. Okay, now I'm saved again. Right? Am I right? Some people believe that. Okay? Other people believe that you can't lose your salvation. But folks, I want to say that, well, for me, I believe that this is the most important question that we need to answer ourselves, that we have a full understanding of whether we can lose our salvation or not. There is one place where the Bible says, when we blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'll speak a little bit about that now as well. But now it's interesting, how many of you know John 3:16? I would say just about everybody puts up their hand. And as I was preparing this, I mean, I believe that the Lord gave me some more revelation on all of this. It says, this is now Jesus speaking. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Why? That whoever believes in him should not perish. Are there any conditions there? Whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. Think about that for a moment. That Jesus had put in the conditions. He said, whoever believes in him. Whoever believes in him, but you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do... is that there? No. Then Jesus went on to say, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Okay, so why did he send his son into the world? He sent his son into the world in order that the world might be saved through him. Now watch this, verse 18. Whoever believes in him, put up your hand if you believe in him. Okay, so we know. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. Why? Goes on, Jesus says, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Folks, even Jesus, I believe, has made it very, very clear to us. We need to make sure, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we do not allow the devil who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy to get into our head, right, and lay a number on us where we start to experience condemnation and guilt and all of those things if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is now no condemnation. We need to know, folks, what the function of the evil one. He was cast out of heaven. We know that he's operating on planet Earth and he's going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's what the word says. But the Bible says that he is a liar. Not only is he a liar, but he is the father of lies. So we need to know what the Word of God says about this so that you and I can walk in the freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased for us. And that we walk in the freedom where we know that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to say that there is only one sin that will cause condemnation. One sin. Who wants to know what it is? No one. Okay, let me carry on. Do you want to know what it is? Well, okay, let's respond. Do you want to know what the one sin is? Okay, thank you. A couple of us here. Folks, it is the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief when we don't believe. We don't believe what God said. We reject what God said. And you know, even the unpardonable sin, where we blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it is exactly the same thing. It is as a result of unbelief. Because if we believed, we would never ever do a thing like that. So that is the sin, right? The one sin that we better make sure that we don't commit. The sin, okay, not receiving the one and only way to have a relationship with our Creator. It's the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That is what the sin is, just that one. Those who are in Christ will not be condemned. Say it again. Those that are in Christ will not be condemned. Those who do not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior will be. This is what Paul is saying. Okay? We need to get our head around this. Folks, there are many people now, many, many people on this planet, believers as well, that really have a big struggle with verses 5 to verse 17. And I'm going to read it to us right now. Okay? They really trust, you know, they trust in Christ. They trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then they are still battling with sinful thoughts. Now, because they're battling with sinful thoughts, now they think that they have the mind of a sinful man and they just get, you know, the devil comes in like a flood and lays condemnation on them. Let's just have a look at this. Verse 5, Romans 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh is death. But to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. How's that? Okay. When we embrace God, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we should be experiencing not only life, but a life full of peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. Verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. You know people like that. Never receive Jesus. Okay? Reject anything to do with Christianity. Those people are hostile towards God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So God has created all of us. Okay? But those that have rejected Jesus, these people, according to what Paul says, cannot please God. Now watch the verse 9. This is very interesting. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. I'm asking you now, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Because if you're not sure as a Christian whether the Spirit of God dwells in you, you need to speak to somebody about it. Because the Bible says that when we receive salvation, God the Holy Spirit comes and He dwells on the inside of us. Is that true? So He says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Then He says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. And I want to say, folks, I don't think it can be any clearer than what He said right there. It can't be clearer. We need to walk in the freedom that Jesus purchased for us. Verse 10, let me carry on. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, so what happens? Right? We live in a fallen world. Believe it or not, each one of us are going to pass away. Is that true? At some point. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, how's that for a blessing? It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It lives in you. Think about it. The same Spirit, with Jesus there was a death, there was a burial, and then there was a resurrection, the resurrection power. It was by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in each one of us, if you are born again. Verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Now this is the problem, and I'll speak about that as well, where many, many Christians still want to live according to the flesh. One foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. And then they start to justify, and I'll get to that now, justify how and why they are able to live in the flesh and still do their thing. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Folks, if we have the Holy Spirit living in us and we have a relationship with our Creator, we should be those who are being led by the Spirit. So the deeper the relationship that we have with Jesus, the more that we're able to hear Him as He speaks to us, and the more guidance and the better led that we will be. Is that true? Verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Listen, the Spirit Himself, that is the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. So get the picture here, that you have the Holy Spirit, and then you and I are spirit beings. Is that true? It tells us right there. Okay, the Holy Spirit and our spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit, according to Paul's teachings. Now, body, we all know what our body looks like, but we have a soul, which is our intellect, our reasoning, and our thinking, and connected to that is our spirit. And that spirit is going to one of two places when we die, depending on decisions that you and I have made. Amen. Body into the ground. We know that. Anyway. So the Spirit Himself, that's the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if God, and if children, watch here, here's another blessing. And heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. What is an heir? An heir is somebody that's going to receive an inheritance. If you're a child of God, there's an incredible inheritance waiting for you in eternity. Amen? We are heirs. And not only just heirs, heirs with Christ. Is that what it says here? They're joint heirs with Christ. Provided, there's a condition here, when you see the word provided, there is something that we have to do. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Now what Paul is not saying, that those who sin are controlled by the sinful nature, right? We have already seen this, that we all sin. Okay, let me ask you. Why don't you just put up your hand if you haven't sinned in the last week? Look at you. Look at us Christians. Not one hand goes up, so we've all sinned. I'm pleased no one's hand went up, because I was going to have a healing line after and cast those lying demons out of us. Amen. But of course, there's none in this church. But folks, we all sin. Like Paul, I do those things that I don't want to do, and I don't do those things that I should do. So we've already seen that we all sin. And also Paul included himself in all of this. So folks, this portion of Scripture is actually contrasting a person who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ with someone who has never ever received Christ as Lord and Savior. There's no confusion, although people get confused with this. This is what he's doing right here. And it's important for us that we actually get our head around this. Why? So that we can walk in and enjoy the freedom that Jesus has purchased for us. It was a huge price that he paid for your freedom. He shed blood. Listen to what he says in verse 9. I want to just go back to it. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Turn to the person next to you and say, I have the Spirit of Christ. Therefore, this doesn't apply to me. Folks, even though we battle in different areas, okay, it might be in the area of our thinking where people have sinful thoughts, just like Paul. Paul was, whatever you and I are battling, Paul battled the same things. Is that true? He's like us, okay? The very fact that there is a battle going on the inside of you, that means that Christ is in you. Because if Christ was not in you, and you did something wrong, there would be no battle. How many of you know that people that do not have the Spirit of God, they can do what they want, and there's nothing wrong. They don't care. Is that true? So, just by the nature of the fact that there's a battle going on, that means that He's in us. If He was not in you, there wouldn't be a battle, that's for sure. I trust that this is helpful. I really do. As I say, you know, when we take time and we unpack books of the Bible, you know, there's just so much that we need to grab hold of, and it helps us live out our lives, folks. Hope it's helpful. Now one of the things here is this thing of grace. Now, grace is a wonderful thing. We know I mentioned what it was just now. The grace is that unmerited favor, that undeserved favor that we just get because of God's grace. But let me tell you something, that grace is a challenging thing, because some people like to, manipulate the grace of God. They do. Okay? You know, some people will say, well, you know, I'm saved by grace. Okay. Therefore, my past and my present and my future, you know. And because I'm saved by grace and my future is covered by grace, therefore, I can just go on sinning because my future is covered by grace and there's no consequences. You know people like that. Hey? Hang on, it's like trying to find a loophole in the word. Oh, okay, well, you know, this is just 1 foot here and 1 foot there. Folks, first of all, if we embrace what grace is, we know that all that God, well, everything we do should be to give Him glory. You can't give God glory if you're trying to manipulate the Word of God and try to justify, you know, doing this sin and that sin, you know, because of God's grace and God's future, you know, that's been poured out upon you. Okay. So this is important that we get our head around this, because I tell you, in our position, we've come across a lot of people like this. Oh, yeah, brother. Dave, you know what? You know, I'm I'm under grace and I'm not under law. Okay? I don't have to go to church. Yeah, I don't have to go to church. I'm under grace, man. I can play tennis on Sunday morning. God's grace. Folks, be very careful of this greasy grace and this misinterpretation of it. Amen. Is that clear? Am I banging on too much about that? Okay, all right. God has prayed for their future sins. Now, what's interesting, this very thing I've spoken about, Paul addressed this in chapter 6. And we spoke about this when we discussed chapter 6. And he said, by no means can we have this greasy grace. Huh? Basically what he said is that we have died to sin, and if we have died to sin, how can we carry on sinning if we've died to sin? Does this mean that we'll never sin? No. No, you still will. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will not condemn us, but what the Holy Spirit does do, He convicts us. Right? So in other words, the condemnation, if you experience condemnation, you'll start feeling guilt and you'll start feeling a whole lot of stuff. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit gently comes to us and just about taps us on the shoulder and says, hey, that's wrong. There's a conviction of the sin, not laying a number on us where we experience condemnation. So Paul tells us that those of us who are in Christ, that we do have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. And by having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, if we really have this relationship, the Holy Spirit will help us with those temptations, whatever they might be. Am I right? Holy Spirit helps us. Folks, we need to, the objective is that you and I become more like Christ. And it's a journey. And sometimes we're doing well on our journey, and sometimes we're not doing too well. But people need to see Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? And like I'm saying, the Holy Spirit, where there are issues in our lives, where there might be temptation, if we have that relationship with Him, He's going to assist us with all of those. Why? So that we can give Him praise and honor and glory. And as we start to develop this relationship with the Holy Spirit, you know what you find? You start to sin less. And less, and less, and less. And then maybe the next one, maybe a bit more. And then less, and then less. Huh? Is that true? It's true. We start to sin less and less and less. Okay? And we are only able to do that by having the Holy Spirit dwell in us. Now, Paul now goes on, he's speaking to the Romans, but Paul is speaking to his way here in February 2023. And I think the day, is it the 19th today? No, the 19th, I got it right. Okay. Verse 15, he says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery that leads you into fear again. Instead, you have received a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. The Spirit Himself, this is the Holy Spirit, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with the Messiah. In fact, we are in His... We share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. Now, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Is that true? We've already spoken about that. Why? Because we have received His Son, Jesus, as our personal Lord and Savior. And again, these are blessings, folks. Incredible blessings. There's no condemnation because of what He's done for us. It's as simple as that, of our sin. Let me say this too, that because there's now condemnation and we do sin, we do. What we are doing, if we are truly born again, it doesn't mean, I really don't believe, it means that we're going to lose our salvation. But we start to lose our rewards in eternity. We are living on planet Earth now, and we should be living with eternity in our heart and preparing ourselves for incredible rewards in eternity. The Bible speaks about some people just getting into heaven, just making it. It's like hanging on there by the skin of their teeth. They just get in, and in fact it says, and they're even smelling of sulfur. They've gone through the fire, but they just get in. You don't want to be one of those. We don't want to be one of those. We won't face condemnation. And also, while we are on planet Earth, according to what he says here, that we will not be forgotten by God. So often, people, man, is this true? Oh, Lord, where are you? None of us, of course. Okay. Oh, Lord, where are you? Okay. I've been praying, and you don't answer my prayers. Oh, Lord, I think you've forgotten me. Huh? Do you feel like that at times? Folks, we often, you know why we feel like that? We often feel like that because we have forgotten His Word, to spend time in His Word, because the Word builds up faith. It's not that God has forgotten us. We've forgotten to do something. Develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Spending time in prayer. Spending time in the Word of God. That we should be doing. So never ever say, well, you know, he's forgotten me. You've been told right throughout Scripture. Now, okay, let me get on to this now. You're probably not going to like it. Or should I? Maybe I should take a club next week. No, let's carry on. Okay, we're told right throughout Scripture that we will experience suffering as believers. You mean as a Christian? But when I went to that church, that pastor, he stood and he said, if I become a Christian, life is just going to be plain sailing. I'm telling you, okay? Folks, it's not like that. Life is not plain sailing because the Bible doesn't teach that, right? Jesus said in John 16:33, he says, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. So in the midst of your storm, whatever you're going through, you can experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. You can experience the joy of the Lord that will be your strength while you are in the midst of a storm. Jesus went on to say, in the world you will have tribulation. He said, you will have tribulation. Does your Bible say that you might have tribulation? Might means that you could or you could not. You and I will have tribulation. But Jesus says, take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, Peter tells us the same thing. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. I love this, what Peter says. He says, this is about us having difficulties as believers. He says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Oh, this is so strange. Look what's happened to me. It's a fiery trial. He says, don't be concerned. And isn't it interesting? He says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you. Beloved, he's talking to believers. When it comes upon you, does it say, if it comes upon you? If means it might or it might not. When? Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. So, again here, folks, the scripture is clear. You and I'm sad to say, as believers in Jesus, we will experience trials, we will experience tribulations, we might go through some suffering, or we will go through some sufferings, all of those things. This is what Paul says about suffering and be encouraged. In Romans 8:18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time, now this present time is our 70 or 80 or 90 years on this planet. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. There is a glory that is going to be revealed to each and every single one of us. And when we think back of our difficulties, it will be like a drop in the ocean. It's not even going to be an issue, the things that we are going through right now. Okay? So even in these times, folks, we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us through those trials, those sufferings, whatever they may be. Okay? Our thing is that we need to just make sure that we are focusing on the right place. We need to make sure that we are focusing and preparing ourselves for our eternity. Let's live with eternity in our hearts. Let's keep our focus on the big picture and not on our, like I said, 70, 80, 90 years here on this planet. And we also need to realize that in our times of suffering, we have not been forgotten. We have not been forgotten, all right? You know what? I love that scripture and we all know it. But God takes everything that is going on in our lives, those difficulties that we might experience. Sometimes God puts difficulties in there. There's scriptures to back this up because he is developing our character, right? So it might be, so at times he puts difficulties there, but then we have an enemy as well that will start to throw things at us. But God works all things out for the good of those who put their trust in him and who love him. Isn't that what the word says? Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, just put up your hand if you love God. Okay. Then this is for you. For those who love God, all things, not some things, all things work together for God, for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Folks, God just loves you. He just loves you. We have to get our head around it. Sometimes we think, well, God, how can you love me? Huh? I'm telling you, how can you love me? You know me. How can you love me? He just loves you. He just loves you. But he not only loves you, right, that he says something else about this love that he has for you, that he says that not only do I love you his way, but nothing can separate you from my love. Nothing. In Romans 8 verse 35, Paul starts off with a question and he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he answers the question a bit later on. He says, shall tribulation, shall the difficulties that you go through, shall they separate you from the love of Christ? Distress, will that separate you from Christ's love? Persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or the sword, shall those things separate you from the love of God? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We regarded as sheep to the slaughter. Now Paul answers the question that he asked. What shall separate you from God's love? He says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You're a conqueror. Okay, that's another blessing. In fact, you're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror through Christ who loved us. Then he says, for I am sure that neither death, folks, death cannot separate us from the love of God. Nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How's that for a blessing? How's that for knowing how much your Creator loves you? Nothing can separate us. Folks, we want to be loved by God. And I want to tell you something. The enemy wants to make sure that you don't feel loved. And he will start to throw curveballs at you at every single opportunity. Satan wants you to believe that if you go out there and you sin, that God turns his back on you. That God doesn't love you anymore. I want to encourage us, don't believe the lie. I said earlier on, he's a liar and he's a father of lies. God loves you so much, according to the scripture, that absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's if you receive him as Lord and Savior. When you receive the Holy Spirit, God the Father sealed you with the Holy Spirit. When you receive Jesus, I should say, God the Father sealed you with the Holy Spirit. And when he sees you, how does he see you? He looks at you and I through the shed blood of his Son, and he sees us as righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what the word said. So God loves you. Tell the person next to you, God loves me. Folks, through his sacrifice on the cross, right, you and I will not face condemnation. Isn't that amazing? Through his suffering, you and I will have eternal life. And also, through his grace, we will know that we are deeply loved by him. He did it all for us. He continues to love you. Nothing can separate us from that love. You will never be forgotten. I wonder if God remembers me. No, you'll never be forgotten, ever be forgotten, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it is really God's children who are saved have a secure life and a secure eternity. If we're saved, right? And my question to, maybe let's close our eyes. Just close your eyes. Is there anybody here that hasn't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Because this message was for you. And this message was also for all of us that have received, that we can walk in the freedom that Jesus purchased. Is there anyone here you're not sure about your eternity?